Fantasy freaks and geeks, what is up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I am James Coe, the man behind the glass, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar, and MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. We got a big show in front of us here today. We're going to talk about waiver wire options, recency bias. Wait a second. My God, could it be?
Is that what I hear?
Is it him?
Oh, no.
Is it him coming from behind?
Oh, my God.
My God, it is him. It's the pride of Connecticut, the master of starts and sits. It is the Hall of Famer, the Hoff, Michael Fabiano. He's here. My God, he's kicking ass. He's taking names. My God, my God, Michael Fabiano.
And you guys played Striper.
That was the band Striper.
By the way, that is a great song.
Do not own the rights to the song, but thank you for letting us use it.
from a band that's actually released an album within the last few months. Thanks, guys. I feel like Triple H in 2002 when he came back from the injury on Raw and the crowd went wild. Man. Bronchitis is a pain in the butt, dude. I tried to work through it for about a week.
Right. Didn't work for you.
Yeah, and then I went to the doctor, and he examined me, and he's like, "You have bronchitis. What the heck are you doing working?" And I says, "I didn't know I had bronchitis." And he says, "Well, if you want to keep working and get pneumonia, then
go for it.
Working."
Yeah.
So he basically told me, he's like, "You got to take time off because you're not going to get any better." So, but it's good to be back. I don't know if my voice sounds exactly right, but I'm feeling good enough to try and help some people win a fantasy title here.
So there you go.
Let's do it.
I like it. As I was saying, we have top headlines, waiver wire options, recency bias. We're going to talk about guys who, over the last 2 weeks, have just absolutely gone crazy. But
maybe some that haven't gone crazy.
Ooh. And we will talk about whether or not they will keep it up or they will stay down or basically will the recency bias hold. And then, of course, we'll talk about some good and bad schedules here as we go down into the stretch of the fantasy playoffs. But first, let's react to the Monday Night Football. That was not good football.
It was not.
That we were subjected to on Monday night.
We've kind of seen more and more of that this year.
Primetime games, right?
A lot of bad games.
Thursday night games have been not great. Monday night games have not been
great. The finish was great.
Oh, the finish was amazing.
Yeah, but getting up to that point was a little, yeah.
The final score, Dallas 19, Washington 16. So I'm sure that made Michael Fabiano a little healthier.
Listen, I want a team that's got a shot to win something.
Okay.
Cowboys don't have a shot to win anything with this team. So,
but Tony Romo's not on IR. They could bring him back.
I don't know. I honestly, I've kind of thrown in the towel on this year. I'm kind of looking for a high draft pick because I think the Cowboys could really use that. That could actually take them to the next step maybe, but I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to see the Cowboys win,
well,
but
you know, hey, on the bright side, at least you have the Lake. Wait,
yeah.
Oh, dang.
Exactly.
And
the Red Sox just signed David Price, so my Yankees.
I was kind of glad to see the Cowboys win because the anarchist in me wants to see this division in flames as much as possible. So in that respect, I was kind of happy with what happened.
Just a 6-10 team entering the playoffs. That would be amazing.
Listen, I was talking about this with the people I met up at the bar for the second half of the game with. Realize that whoever wins this division is probably going to welcome Seattle into their home stadium for that wild card playoff game.
Yeah, right.
That is going to be a bloodbath.
Probably.
But how about if they win? But how about?
I mean, the way the NFL works is that a 6-10 team might get into the playoffs and then somehow miraculously win a first round playoff game and then promptly get smoked.
Well, remember that actually happened.
But Seattle 7-9.
Right, when they were that was the beast most
the
beast most game. So, listen, Matt Castle's the quarterback, guys. Dez Bryant, you couldn't hear him, but you could feel his frustration every time they had him on camera last night.
I hear you. Absolutely.
Until the end of the game.
19-16, your final score. Dallas improves to 4-8. Washington 5-7. There's a three-way tie in the NFC East. Dallas, amazingly, is somehow just a game back. But listen, that's real. football. Let's talk about fantasy football. Matt Jones, I mean, look, nobody did anything. Nobody did anything.
I know. McFadden scored a touchdown, and he still didn't even have.
He had two fumbles.
Two fumbles.
Yeah.
Exactly. What did Run DMC have? 59 total yards and a touchdown?
Like 7 points.
Right. So, Alfred Morris got benched. I mean, if the running back position wasn't already a disaster.
Why did Alfred Morris get benched? Do we know? Do we have any indications as to why Alfred Morris got 6 carries for 12 yards? Meanwhile, Matt Jones got 18.
He didn't
because
play.
Because Jay Gruden hates fantasy football.
He didn't play in the last three quarters.
Well, this is like
at all.
This is what happened. And when people were talking last week, like, oh, maybe Morris is turning the corner. Maybe he's getting the ball more. I'm like, no, we've seen this. Like, a couple weeks ago, Morris got like 13 carries, and it was like, oh, maybe he's turning the corner. Following week, 3. Then he had his big game last week. Now again, 6 touches or 6 yeah. carries or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, you just cannot trust this backfield.
Nope.
Boy.
That goes for a whole lot of backfields.
All right, so Dez Bryant caught one long one, which was basically the only way he got to 62 yards. So he managed, you know, just 6 points in fantasy, not great. DeSean Jackson had nothing going. And as a matter of fact, until the last 30 seconds of that ball game, he really had nothing going. What was he at? He got 30 yards and a touchdown on the last 30
yeah.
seconds.
He was at 5 for 50 with the fumble on the punt return, and then he got the redeeming touchdown.
Which was that maybe the worst punt return fumble of all time?
One of, yes.
I mean, running 20 yards backwards to fumble the football. And
when they cut his highlight reel, that will be on it.
Yakety Pass was playing that whole time.
It was craziness. Can I ask you guys this? I know, again, this is more real football, but how was that a fumble? I thought if the ground causes the ball.
The ground never caused it. That popped out before his butt was down. Mm-hmm.
No, but it's because his wrist hit the ground.
No, I think it was out before his wrist hit the ground, too.
Oh, man.
It's because he was getting bent because he was getting, like, sandwiched by 5 guys.
I feel
like they should just call it a fumble on principle because he was so incredibly dumb.
Maybe that's what happened, and I buy that. That was
just on
so bad.
Wasn't it funny, though, that, like, the Redskins went right back down the field, and Jackson scores the touchdown to tie the game. And
craziness.
If that game lasted the last, 5 minutes and that was it, people would have been talking about it, about how exciting it was.
I really wish Washington had gone down there and hit that field goal. That would have been amazing. Just so we could get more.
No.
Garbage.
No.
I didn't want it.
No.
Jordan Reed, only 33 yards. It was bad. Anyways, like I said, 19-16, your final. Dallas wins. They improved to 4-8. Let's get to top headlines.
Let's do it.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go. Woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
We'll start in Cleveland. We're talking a lot of real football here. Johnny Manziel is starting for the Cleveland Browns, or is he? I know we got in some initial reports, right, that Johnny Manziel will start, and then the head coach, Mike Pettine, had to go in and throw a monkey wrench into that and say that, no, as a matter of fact, he has not announced a starter yet. But the expectation is that Johnny Manziel will start for the Cleveland Browns. We've talked about it on this podcast many times. Matt Harmon has said a running quarterback is like a cheat code. Johnny Manziel is a running quarterback. Cleveland, though, is a dumpster fire. Do we stash Johnny Manziel?
Dude, there's so many good quarterbacks right now. I mean, one of the stats that I tweeted out yesterday, so this week, week 13, Carson Palmer scored 22 fantasy points and was the 15th highest scoring quarterback.
15th. I know. It was crazy.
Johnny Manziel should not be anywhere near your fantasy roster unless you're in a very deep league. When you're talking about Jameis Winston with a great matchup this week, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing very well. There are probably 4 quarterbacks on the waiver wire in most leagues right now that I would have 100% confidence in starting in the first week of my fantasy playoffs.
Right. It's kind of sad because it would be fun to, like, be in a position where you're like, yeah, I got to trot out Johnny and, like, this will be exciting and whatever. But you're right, Fabs. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is only owned in, like, 10% of leagues. And
just
he's
amazing,
one of the highest scoring quarterbacks.
Jameis is playing New Orleans this week.
Yeah.
There are a boatload of good quarterbacks out there. which is, again, why you don't draft a quarterback.
I mean, the only thing I want from Johnny Manziel is for him to throw it to Gary Barnage. That's all we need Johnny Manziel to do. That's it.
That's right.
That's all we want. All right. How about Matt Hasselbeck? His status is uncertain for Week 14. He suffered a neck and shoulder injury.
That's
combination. Or as we were saying in the Fantasy Stronghold, he suffered an injury of old.
Yes.
He's 40 years old. When he gets tackled very hard, likely to get hurt. What's the impact on the Colts skill position players there if clipboard?
Well, I don't know that he's not playing. But either way, the offensive skill positions are not trustworthy. Any of them. I mean, even Frank Gore, he had a good game last week, but even Gore's banged up. The matchup is actually not bad, but it's hard, man. Even to trust T.Y. He had a couple of good games, and then last week he had a stinker, and you can't trust Fleener. You can't trust Moncrief. It's amazing, too, because this is the team maybe out of three or four in the preseason where we were like, well,
invest heavily in
this
the Colts.
This is a lot of good fantasy players on this roster. Not so much.
And it's a situation, too, where this past week was an absolute killer for a lot of fantasy lineups because the Steelers, until that point, had just been getting burned everywhere. I thought T.Y. Hilton was going to have a nice day. I thought Dante Moncrief was going to have a nice day. I went on NFL Fantasy Live on Sunday, and I said Matt Hasselbeck is going to be your number seven fantasy quarterback this week. And
whoops.
Oopsies.
Yeah,
sorry about
not
that.
Not so much.
Sorry about that, Twitter. I apologize. what's your takeaways on the Colts offense there? Do we believe? Do we not trust? What do we do?
The only one I'm going to trust is Gore still. I had been worried about him, especially because, like you said, Fabs, he was dinged up, and Chuck Pagano called him beat to crap. But he looked really good against the Steelers' tough front. And if Charlie Whitehurst is going to come in, you know they're going to try and establish the run to take some pressure off of him. So I think Gore will see a nice volume of touches and should still be able to produce, like, low to mid-end RB2 numbers for you.
I was, again, just shocked by the ineffectiveness of Matt Hasselbeck, only because he had been playing really well. Very good, effective football at the quarterback position. He just looked like he was absolutely overwhelmed. Okay, we'll move on. Let's talk about Philadelphia. DeMarco Murray, 14 snaps against New England. We saw a lot of Kenyon Barner, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
He only played one less snap than Murray. He played 13.
All right, so what do we do with DeMarco Murray?
Well,
bench him.
If you can afford to. Like, that's the problem right now. Fantasy owners don't have any options at running back.
Right.
I was telling people to pick up Sean Drone 3 weeks ago because of volume, and now he's probably the only running back worth anything on the waiver wire, right?
I mean, I have him in
maybe
my
James
top
White
this week,
but it's like Bellatrix,
right? Can you trust James White?
Though? No, right? So at least you know Drone is going to see carries and get touches. I mean, this guy's caught 18 passes in his last three games.
Yeah, I honestly might rather start James White than DeMarco Murray.
Because
Chip Kelly also said recently that there were going to be changes, and this begs the question if maybe Chip Kelly, the coach, is starting to take over for Chip Kelly, the GM, and he's not just deferring all these touches to DeMarco Murray because they paid him a bunch of money, and he's realizing that there are other better options for his offense.
Darren Sproles looks like he's a pretty good option in that offense. Seems to make a heck of a lot of sense. He likes those. He likes speed, is what Chip Kelly likes. He prefers speed over everything, and if he likes that, I just don't see how Darren Sproles is not a guy that you give a lot of looks to. I think if Darren Sproles is out on your waiver wire, you should absolutely add him to your rosters as well.
Ryan Matthews might be coming back, and he was the most effective running back in this scheme. He had just about as many fantasy points before he went down as DeMarco Murray on far fewer touches.
All right, so DeMarco Murray on high alert. Put him on the bench. Yes, no, maybe so. If you can afford it, is what Fab says.
Yeah. It's really tough out there at running back. So, I'd rather play Murray and cross my fingers than a lot of the guys out there.
Might be true. All right, let's talk about another struggling running back, struggling with his weight, perhaps struggling with a curfew. Most definitely, Eddie Lacy missed curfew. In the Saturday before
Wednesday,
Wednesday before his Thursday game, weight concerns, obviously, there have been, injury concerns as well. Now he's got some off-field issues, missing curfew. What do you do with
it? You can't play him.
Trust anybody in that backfield.
It's unreal.
I mean, we keep saying this, though. He had back-to-back 100-yard games. He had a nice game in the week prior. And then he comes out, and again, if you played him in trying to get into your fantasy playoffs, you're most likely out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you needed a big number this week. This week was the week you needed a big number to win. And Eddie Lacy sitting in your starting lineup with 0.1, an absolute killer for most rosters.
Yeah, that one is a killer. And you were actually starting to have a little faith in him because he had two good games in a row.
Yeah.
As we mentioned. But aside from the weight and the lack of touches, now he's clearly not fully invested. When you're an NFL player and you're late to meetings or you're missing meetings, I mean, that's just not a good sign. So even against the Cowboys this week, I mean, their defense played pretty well last night, and it's a little bit underrated, although they haven't been great against running backs this year. How do you play him?
You can't. You can't play anybody in this backfield, because James Starks ended up in the doghouse too because he fumbled against Detroit, and then we saw – you know, as we said, the pride of North Dakota State.
John Crockett.
So, like, there's hope. I mean, don't outright drop Lacy, because maybe this is his wake-up call, and he's like, oh, wow, I'm going to have a lot of money on the line next year. I should actually get my act together and come to meetings and try hard. I mean, or he's just spiraling out of control this year and it's lost. But you got to hold on to him. You got to hold on to Starks. Don't play any of them this week, but you can potentially play them the week after against Oakland.
Well, you mentioned this too, Alex, that Mike McCarthy has a pretty good history of sticking with guys. He might stick him in the doghouse for a game, maybe two, but he sticks with them.
Right. It'll be worth monitoring. I mean, if you have him and you're in the playoffs, like, keep an eye on like press conferences and reports out of practice for the Packers this coming week, because if McCarthy's like, yeah, this is the Lacy we needed to see or something, or he's totally responded to that punishment, like, then that's you're trending in the right direction with this narrative, but it's still going to be a risky venture.
I tell you what, if you're a podcast listener, we will have Alex Gilhar on the case. He will
filing reports from Green Bay daily.
Reports. And listen to our podcast.
I'll take a free trip back home. Oh, the network wants to pay to send me over there.
Absolutely. Listen to listen to the podcast Friday. We'll definitely have an update on Eddie Lacy, and I promise you, Alex Gilhar will have. Will be the good news aggregator that he is, and give us the latest reports on Eddie Lacy. All right, let's talk about Arizona's backfield. David Johnson, well, and Baltimore as well. Buck Allen, Javaris Allen had great games. They had absolutely great games. This is the David Johnson that we were expecting. I don't know if all of us were expecting in the offseason, but I knew he had the size and speed combination to look like that, to basically be a power guy and be a speed guy, catching balls out of the backfield. There's so much to like about David Johnson, especially in that offense, and Bruce Arians really knows how to utilize him.
Yeah, and now you've got a banged-up Vikings defense coming to Arizona this week.
Right.
So, and this is kind of funny, too, because certainly we've seen a real loss of top talent at running back, both in reality and fantasy, but you're going into the playoffs right now. You're leaning on David Johnson.
Yep.
You're leaning on Buck Allen.
Thomas Rawls. Yikes. Spencer Ware, maybe.
I mean, it is ridiculous. The running backs, Sean Drone, that people are starting now.
Yikes.
Compared to where these players were back when we were drafting our teams.
Oh, they weren't even... I mean, were any of these
barely
guys
on the radar?
They weren't on the radar at all,
some of these guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, as long as Andre Ellington is still out, obviously we know that Chris Johnson's going to be out, you know, basically for the rest of the year.
Right.
What is he eligible for? Super Bowl in case the Cardinals make it? You know, as long as Andre Ellington isn't there and he didn't practice on Monday, it doesn't look like he's going to play on Thursday. David Johnson is the guy. So as long as he's the starter, you're plugging him in. Same goes for Buck Allen, who's been a really nice plug-in for Justin Forsett since he went down.
Now let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
Because they're playing Seattle this week.
Wait, I think they're playing
Seattle has got the best run defense in the league if you're talking about running back production. Running backs do nothing against them.
Yeah,
Adrian Peterson did nothing.
But how many guys out there are going to get the kind of volume
right,
that
I know,
Buck Allen
I
might
know,
get? So.
I know. So you probably have to use him as a flex. But this could be a week where Buck Allen does not produce the type of numbers that we've seen in the last few weeks.
Well, I tell you what, man. If Benny Cunningham is putting up fantasy points on this Seattle defense.
Well, that was in week one. I mean, look at Seattle's numbers right now.
Oh, they're insane.
If you look at the fantasy points against numbers on NFL.com right now, I mean, Seattle is giving up an average of 12 points a game to running backs. They've given up 4 rushing touchdowns all year. They've given up 830 rushing yards. I mean, it's next to nothing. And they haven't played a bunch of curtain jerkers either.
They have not. Adrian Peterson. This is shut down.
Right, exactly. So you have to play him.
I think the hope is he has a game similar to what D'Angelo had a couple weeks ago in Seattle.
Where he's going to catch a bunch of passes.
He's going to catch a bunch of passes and be able to do some stuff in space. Like, his ceiling is undoubtedly lowered, and it could be, like, basement level. But he also has the chance to put in, like you said, flex is a safer spot for him. RB2 if your team is decimated with injuries. Yep. But
the matchup's terrible. But right now, in the state we're at running back in fantasy football, he's a flex starter at worst.
All right. How about Allen Hurns? He finally clears concussion protocol. I'm assuming he's a must start against Indianapolis this week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's been, a top 15 fantasy receiver most of the year?
Got to play him.
Yeah, you put him in.
Got to play him.
All right, there you go. I wanted to ask about Blake Bortles, too, because Blake Bortles has just been – I mean, obviously he had a huge game, but we're seeing big games out of Blake there.
Yeah, he's been a fantasy stud this year, regardless of how he actually looks on the field and how many turnovers he's had.
Right.
He has been dominating for a lot of fantasy rosters, a couple of mine included.
Yep.
All right, waiver wire options time, because it is Tuesday, and of course Tuesday, the big waiver wire day. For those of you entering into the playoffs, there will be some names out there. You know, it's interesting, too, because this is the time of year where guys who are out of it don't make waiver wire claims, even if they have a high waiver wire priority. And as a result, those playoff teams now have a little few more options on the waiver wire.
Sadly, the wire is really thin, so this week I kind of spun the main article into, like, here's some guys that might have good matchups that you could pick up. Like, we mentioned two of them already off the top, Chandrone and James White, both owned in a ton of leagues. James White is kind of looking like vintage Shane Vereen or a poor facsimile for Deion Lewis, but he's been getting a lot more work lately. Of course, this all could tip back to Brandon Bolden because Bellatrix have returned, but he's there. And, I mean, if you're desperate and in a PPR league, Bilal Powell might have the game script coming again in a shootout between the Jets and Titans where he could see a ton of work because he had, did he have 100 yards receiving this past week, or was it
I don't know that he had 100.
It was 91.
But he had
91.
He certainly made Chris Ivory a lot less productive.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
It had a lot to do with how the game fell in line. Mm-hmm. So he's won. Theo Riddick still catches a ton of passes and could have another game. Wide receiver wise, Devontae Parker, we've talked a lot about his resurgence. He's available in a lot of leagues. Tyler Lockett has been seeing a lot more work recently, actually, with that Seattle passing offense catching fire. And then again, a PPR one, Brian Hartline, like it or not.
I know when that Hartline plays.
27
I can
catches.
Only mean one thing. I want to rewind you here just a bit here.
Yeah.
Chris Ivory. I know a lot of fantasy managers are asking about Chris Ivory. They're worried about the tailing off of production. I want to get you guys' take on what to do with Chris Ivory for the rest of the season here.
Start him. He's got a good matchup this week coming up. I mean, so to me, again, it's all part of that running back anemia. Is that a name? Is that
sure.
a word?
Sure. Let's take it.
You have to sort of play him.
But I guess expectations.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen.
Look, when he started the season, he was gangbusters, man.
Yeah.
He was top 10 guy. I believe at some point he was a top 5 guy.
Right now, he's still top 5.
Is he still top 5?
Still top 5.
Still top 5.
I mean, a lot of it is attrition because so many guys got
Yeah,
hurt.
I mean, he's kind of like he's been every week, every other week. So, you know, he'll give you a good one, then a stinker. But Tennessee's run defenses, I mean, they're not all that. So I still think you have to play them.
Right. This could be
you have to run with them.
I mean, before this game turns to a shootout, or if the Jets play better, this also does look like it. I don't know which way it's going to go. It could be an Ivory game. It could be a Powell game. But like, why he's in the top 5 is because 5 of his last 8 weeks, he's had 11 plus points, 16 in 2 of those, 25 in 1. But those other 3 weeks, all 4 points.
Oy.
Yeah. So you know what's amazing is that Lamar Miller, despite the fact that he's had a bunch of stink bombs, is the sixth highest scoring running back in fantasy football.
I mean, so much of this is attrition, though. I mean, what is this? What does the top 10 look like?
I know.
If Jamal Charles and Le'Veon Bell
Arian Foster,
uh-huh. You know, if Marshawn Lynch wasn't, you know, nicked up all year, I mean, what does it look like if those guys performed the way, you know, if Eddie Lacy performed the way we expected him to play,
you know,
all year?
D'Angelo Williams is, I think he's 10th or 11th in running back fantasy points. And he's had five games this year with two or fewer points because Le'Veon Bell was in the game. And he's still a top 10 running back.
That's so
it's insane.
Sad.
It
That's
is,
so
it's
sad.
Been such a crazy season between the injuries and between the fact that, listen, heck, in drafts next year, I might not even take a quarterback. I'll play the waiver wire every single week. Honestly, because like when you see quarterbacks like Mariota and Winston and Tyrod and Fitzmagic putting up the type of production that they're putting up, I mean,
Alex Smith said over 20 points.
It's ridiculous.
Last week's
too. Andy Dalton's a fantasy star. This guy was, you know, he wasn't even drafted in a lot of leagues.
Right.
The league is so quarterback friendly at this point in time that listen, I mean, even guys that you had given up on earlier in the year, Matt Stafford's had three pretty good games in a row. So,
oh, and speaking,
dude, Blaine Gabbert rushed for more yards.
Yeah,
than and Todd Gurley combined last week.
Speaking of quarterbacks, to wrap up the waiver wire real quick, two good ones to grab off the waiver wire: Tyrod, if he's still there.
Oh yeah,
plays the Eagles defense this week.
Oh yeah,
start him. Getting lit. Their secondary has been lit on fire by quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And Fitzpatrick, again, we mentioned him off the top. Tennessee, great matchup. Another name to look for, he came back this week from injury, Austin Seferian Jenkins. Didn't have a great stat line.
Good
matchup. Like
you got a few targets,
yards.
Though.
Six targets. Jameis loves throwing to his tight end, and mm-hmm. he is playing the worst defense in the world at covering tight
world.
Ends.
Okay.
And also potentially just in the world in the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah,
so look for
Tremendous.
Seferian Jenkins if you're still, if you had Gronk, if you're worried about Eifert. Or maybe even for a flex, to be honest. Like, if you have a tight end and you want to get frisky and play another one in the flex, ASJ is a great matchup.
Awesome. I love it. By the way, if you don't have Devontae Parker, go get him. Go get him right
that
now.
That too.
I love him. I absolutely love him. I love him in this offense. You think about what Jarvis Landry does underneath. They need that one guy. They try to bring in Kenny Stills in the offseason to be that guy who could take the top off the defense
Not
and
happening.
Keep defenses honest. Unfortunately, he's Kenny Stills. Devontae Parker is that guy. He mm-hmm. is that guy, and he was recovering from injury earlier in the season. We've seen this story before, folks. Rookie wide receiver making a big impact late in the season. Devontae Parker, I do believe, has the skill set and is in an offense to really make a difference in fantasy. If he's out there, go get him. All right, let's play a little game of recency bias, shall we?
Let's.
It's over the last 2 weeks, we're going to take a look at guys who have either went bazonkers or maybe have struggled, and we'll tell you whether or not the recency bias will last, or if that is what it is. It's just a bias because we've been looking at a very small sample size. All right, we'll start the quarterback position. How about Russell Wilson? Five touchdowns 1 week, and then he follows that up with a master performance again last week. Marcus Mariota and Tygod Taylor. These guys are quarterbacks who have just been on fire.
And Russell's got some really nice matchups. Baltimore this week, they stink.
Oh.
Cleveland in week 15.
Beautiful.
And then St. Louis, which
they haven't been the same.
Seemed to be a bad matchup a couple of weeks ago, but yeah, as Marcus said, not so much, and that's a home game. So and let's not sugarcoat it. Russell Wilson wasn't good.
No.
Up until
2 weeks ago.
Week 11. He had been really inconsistent, and now all of a sudden, he's a guy who could help you win a championship. And you know what? You know what the funniest thing is? Is that he's having some of his best games without Jimmy Graham.
I know. It's a very good point.
Yeah. Like, hey, take supposedly in quotes your best offensive weapon, throw him on the sidelines, and then the quarterback goes nuts. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. But the offense definitely over the last 3 weeks has looked. I mean, it looks nothing like what we saw earlier in the season.
Right.
Nothing like it.
And like you said, Fabs, he was bad early on. He only finished as a QB1, scored in the top 12 three times in his first 10 games.
That's insane.
Wow.
And now, I mean, what, 2 weeks in a row where he's been top three?
Yeah.
And, but you know what? You know what, guys? This Seahawks team, the offense, looks more like what we've seen the last few years. You remove Lynch. Rawls has come in and played really well. You don't have Jimmy Graham in that offense. And all of a sudden, they're starting to look like the team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row on offense.
Right.
And it's amazing how that running game and the effectiveness of Thomas Rawls has sort of let up on the pressure of the offensive line.
Right. Oh,
you haven't heard about that
100%
the last few weeks. So
that's a great point.
And for fantasy owners, it couldn't come at a better time. I mean, you've got Rawls slash Lynch. I mean, that's his production is Marshawn Lynch-esque. And Russell Wilson is back to being what we saw last year.
Is there any reason not to believe in Russell Wilson moving forward?
Not with the schedule he has.
Yeah, the schedule's really good, man.
I mean, really. At this point, I said yesterday on Fantasy Live, at the start of the year, we thought he was going to be the number three fantasy quarterback. And with the schedule and the way he's playing, he could
get there.
He could get there, at least get really close. I mean, look at last three games, 11 touchdown passes, no interceptions. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
Yep, pretty good.
Pretty good. All right, how about Marcus Mariota? Do we believe?
Listen, boy, when a quarterback gives me that long, what was it, an 87-yard touchdown rush, and
it was gorgeous.
Three games in a row with over 18 points, and last week Jacksonville. And now he's got the Jets on the road, and it's not a great matchup. I mean, the Jets' defense has not been as good, but quarterbacks are still not putting up, like, huge numbers against them. You know, Eli didn't put up a good number against them last week. Then he's got New England and Houston. So Houston's defense I can't figure out. 1 week they're tough as nails. The next week Tyrod's going for, 30 points against them.
Right.
So Mariota certainly needs to be rostered in every single league. But
yeah, start him.
This week I'd be playing Fitz over him. I'd be playing Tyrod over him. I'd be playing
– Is he a top 10 quarterback?
This
right
week?
Now? Not this no. week.
Not this week.
No.
Yeah, I mean, he is kind of – he is who we thought he was. You know, I mean, he's had a really good season. He's a rookie quarterback who's had his ups and downs, but I'm not trusting my playoff life to him unless the matchup is absolutely perfect.
Like, if he was playing Jacksonville this week, I'd be like, oh, man. I mean, he was a starter for me last week.
Right.
Because of the matchup. But I don't know if I trust him against the Jets on the road.
Like, is his – next 3 weeks, the Jets, at the Jets, at the Patriots, home against Houston. Like, I don't know that I'm really touching him for any of those games.
Yep.
If I could make a case for Marcus Mariota, it would be the fact that what else can they do? They have been totally ineffective running the ball. And it's almost like, all right, kid, carry us. And they're putting a lot on his plate. And, I tell you what, man, he has responded well. That's the only thing I would say. I get that the Jets, tough matchup. I mean, hard to trust him. Playoff lives on the line, on the road against the Jets. That's tough, man. But you know what? If there's a rookie who could do it, I think it's him. I really do. I love the fact that he got out there and ran a little bit. Hopefully we see a little bit more of that. I mean, you talk about a guy who looks like a gazelle out there. That 90-yard run. Those strides he was taking, that was a thing of absolute beauty.
You know, it's funny, too, because I was thinking about this as I was laid up, watching the games. So I hope this comparison does not come to fruition, but do you remember all the same things that you just said were what we were saying about Robert Griffin III in his rookie year? I know. I think Mariota's going to be a really good NFL quarterback, but it's one of those things where in the moment, we think, wow, greatness.
Sure.
At some point, some of these players that we are seeing greatness from now are going to disappoint us next year. And I know the playoffs
100%.
Are here, and I don't need to look forward. But I did find that, wow, we all were so in love with RG.
Gushing.
But Mariota's looked really good, especially lately. And if they ever get him any wide receivers in Tennessee, watch out.
He has one. His name's Dorial Green Beckham.
Well, that's true.
He's coming along.
He's raw. He's raw as heck.
He's coming along.
DGB looks like a tight end out there.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He's a big boy. He's not Eddie Lacy big, but he's big.
He's Calvin Johnson big.
He is Calvin Johnson big.
He's big.
That's a big dude.
How about a running back, too? They could use one of those.
Tyrod Taylor. I know the fantasy stronghold has been incredibly high on Tyrod Taylor, and he has not disappointed over the last few weeks.
It's three straight matchups with the NFC East coming up.
Hello. I'll take it all day.
The NFC least.
I will take that all day long. And I think it's interesting, too. His production and Sammy Watkins' production have really been tied together. Sammy Watkins has played better. We're not seeing the drops. We're seeing him make more plays in the air.
They've been targeting him more.
It's about time.
Which is what they needed
right.
to do.
Right. A few weeks ago, I was telling people, trade for him. And he was horrible at that
horrible.
Point. But it was more about the schedule. Like, the schedule for him is really good coming up. I mean, he's got a great matchup this week against Philadelphia.
Unbelievable matchup.
He's going to really help you in the fantasy playoffs if you were able to acquire him or draft him or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, I was expecting his numbers to start moving northward, like, this week. He's even surprised me because he's done it against some, you know, the Chiefs defense going into that game. They were playing really well.
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, season long, wide
sideways. Right? Exactly.
Yeah, they've been giving up a lot of points. Yep. But no, you're right. You know, if you were to look at the last 4 weeks,
really
the Chiefs
good.
Chiefs,
yeah,
has been really good, especially against wide receivers. Mm-hmm. It's so weird, so up and down. That Kansas City Chiefs team.
It's like Houston too. You don't know what you're going
to
get.
They made an adjustment though in that Sammy Watkins took him to task in the first half, but he didn't have a catch in the second.
I know.
The Chiefs defense is still very good. They got a little bit in the beginning, but they corrected. And that's the secondary bounced right back again this past week and kind of ripped apart poor Derek Carr.
And by the way, we're talking about the waiver wire, you know, a little bit earlier. That Chiefs defense could end up being one of the best midseason pickups in fantasy football. They have balled out. I mean, balled out. I mean, what did they have?
Great
17
point.
Points last week. Points are points, no matter where. That's why I traded for Steven Gostkowski with you, even though it hasn't really worked out for me so far, because points are points. And right now, even though I love to stream defenses, I was able to grab the Chiefs defense in a few leagues. They are in my lineup. They are staying in my lineup. And I am not messing with them.
San Diego, Matt Schaub.
Yep.
And then Johnny Manziel.
Dude, I mean,
but that Matt Schaub, Matt Schaub, that's like, you know, how
the
SAT.
Pick six.
On the SAT, you get the 200 points for writing your name. Just pencil in 6 points for the pick six. That's
yeah, man.
Just pencil it in.
Oh, so sad. I met him this offseason. Very nice guy.
I got a good nugget from Schaub? Last night when we were having drinks. It was with Dennis, one of the guys from our research team. And he said, since like 2013 or 2012 or something like that, Matt Schaub is second in pick sixes thrown. Phillip Rivers is first, but he's had like 15.
He's played more games, right?
He's had like 15 or 1600 pass attempts. Matt Schaub has had like 400.
Oh,
wow.
And he's second in pick sixes.
Wow. Dude, it's like every single week.
I mean, at
every
some point,
week, it's like a joke now.
It is kind of like a comedy, right? Because
so good.
Like even the one last week, it's the ball gets tipped up in the air. It comes down in the hands of a lineman who runs it in. I mean,
America's number one comedy right now is Matt Schaub.
It really is.
Can we keep the streak going?
I guess Seattle's defense is going to be ranked number one this week.
Yeah.
I would imagine so. Yeah.
Right. We should move on to some of these recency buys.
All right,
spend a lot of time on QBs.
Oh, yeah. Buck Allen. He obviously had an amazing – I mean, in PPR, he had 35 points, dude.
Yeah, dude.
It was crazy. But do you believe in him moving forward?
I mean, what else do they have? I don't like the matchup this week. I can promise you that.
I don't like any of his matchups.
I mean, if you're in a PPR league, I don't know how you bench him.
You can't.
I don't know how you bench him. I really don't.
All right, let's talk about Todd Gurley.
Last two weeks,
7 points total, not per game. Total.
I mean, I feel like, you know, we should have like a Goodwill Hunting moment here. Todd, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
And then he just goes crying at the Jeff Fisher's
arms. I mean, because, right, if you're an opposing defense, if you're an opposing defense and you're scheming for the Rams, what's the one thing you feel like you have to do? Let's just stop Todd Gurley. You know, Case Keenum, Nick Foles, those guys aren't going to beat us. So we're just going to load up the box, and we're going to stop Todd Gurley. And I think that has been the downfall of the Rams' offense and of Todd Gurley the last
because few weeks. I don't know, but I guess they thought Gurley's just going to run all over the whole league because they have not done anything creative offensively. When you're going to Case Keenum as a solution, you know you're in trouble.
They also just fired the only offensive coordinator who's been able to do anything with the second best player on their offense, and that's Tavon Austin.
Sure.
So
it's a – listen, man.
All right, so what do you do?
And the matchup this
week – where
do you
rank Todd Gurley?
The matchup this week, I mean, like, I don't even know – I don't know I, listen, I'm in a league where I have Gurley, D'Angelo, Latavius Murray, and Rawls.
Okay, so what are you doing?
I am seriously considering benching him this week.
Gurley when I did my preliminary rankings last night, and they always change throughout the week because, like, doing your rankings on Monday is, you know, you
not
haven't
great.
Done any
it's
research
a dangerous thing.
Yes.
I had Gurley outside my top 20.
Woo-wee. So he's not even RB2.
I mean, and you look at the matchup, the Lions have been really good against the run lately.
They have.
Yeah.
They
Their
really have
front
been.
Has played a lot better.
So, listen, it's funny. I tweeted this out on Sunday. Maybe 5 weeks ago, everyone in the world of fantasy football agreed that Todd Gurley was the number one overall pick next year.
Yep.
I think it's Le'Veon Bell, but I mean...
It might be.
Because you know Bell is what we all know he is. I mean, this guy is a beast. Mm-hmm. He's just got the knee injuries that have hindered him the last couple of years. But if the Rams don't do something to fix the offensive line... Get a quarterback. I don't know if you can do that all in one offseason. There's not enough good quarterbacks on the planet, okay?
Right.
Gurley could find himself being in a situation like we've seen with Jeremy Hill, right? Jeremy Hill, overall this year, has been pretty disappointing. He's had a handful of good games.
Sure.
But he hasn't been worth that first or second round pick.
Absolutely not.
So,
Todd Gurley outside of the top 20.
It's crazy.
I mean, he's at like 21, but like...
But still.
There are a lot of guys that I would feel much more comfortable with playing ahead of him.
I let me ask you, this is the point I would make about Todd Gurley, too. Because even when he was going off, for long stretches of the game, he would be contained. And he would just break off 50-yard runs. And then he would start getting it going, right? He just hasn't been able to do that. He's a guy right now, as a rookie, coming off of a major, major knee injury. He needs that big play to get going. At least that's what it's that in this small sample size that we've seen, that's what we need.
I don't know if that's 100% true. It's helped him have better fantasy days, but he's still, like, even prior to their quarterback play nosediving, even in, like, that game against Green Bay, I'm looking at the box score right now, he had 159 yards. It took him, like, 32 carries to get there, but he fought hard for every yard. Like, he is still super talented.
But how many of those yards came in the fourth quarter, though?
Not only like 50 of them on the thing. He had like 100 yards beforehand before the 150-yard run, and he earned every one of them. And like the game against Cleveland, it wasn't just a huge run. So I think the trouble is he's also just not getting the volume now because people are shutting him down early and then getting up.
And then the Rams fall behind, right?
And when you're down 17-0, you can't establish the run. You got to try and move the ball. So that's why Gurley had 9 carries last week.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The Rams' offense is a mess.
That's sad. It makes me sad. All right, let's talk about some wide receivers. How about the first and foremost, can we talk about Doug Baldwin? Baldwin.
What is
He's
going on?
He's got 5 touchdowns over the last
Angry
2 weeks.
Doug.
He reminded me, like, the situation reminded me of Roethlisberger last year because he had, like, the 6-touchdown game.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, yeah, he's not doing that
There's
again.
No way he could do that again.
And guess what? He did it
6
again.
Touchdowns again.
And so, like, you know, Baldwin had the huge game 2 weeks ago, and you're thinking, there ain't
no way.
He's not against the Vikings.
No way.
And then guess what he does?
I don't know.
So now, of course, he's playing the Ravens, who have one of the worst.
And watch him have.
He's not going to do anything.
And, you know, he'll have, like, you know, 23 yards or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. Since his bye week, I think that's when they kind of rejiggered the Seattle offense because his 3 highest yardage totals have all come in the 4 games since the bye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also, 6 of his 8 touchdowns have come in the 4 games since the bye.
By the way, he is what? He's the wide receiver 12 now?
Yeah, I don't know.
In the game?
He has skyrocketed.
Really?
Skyrocketed. Skyrocketed.
Wow. Let's look quick. On the season, Doug Baldwin is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Wide receiver 12.
Dude, wow. That is insane.
Doug Baldwin.
He's 1 point
What's
behind
happening?
Eric Decker now because
What's
he's
happening?
Absolutely berserk.
That's
what
right.
What is happening
and,
in this world?
And listen to the numbers he's put up, okay?
Amazing.
3.5 points. Week 3, 3.5 points. He had 9-6, 7-2, 3-1, 9-3-5. Okay, not even on the radar.
Then the bye.
And then the last 4 weeks, he's had 19-plus three times.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
More receiving touchdowns than Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green,
Jarvis
Antonio
Landry,
Brown,
Michael Crabtree.
Julio Jones.
Julio Jones? He's got more time.
More touchdowns than Julio Jones. I mean, keep in mind, Julio Jones, it's been
a minute.
Julio Jones hasn't caught a touchdown since week 8.
It's been a minute.
It's been a while.
Yeah, guys, he has more touchdowns than Davante Adams.
No.
All right, so Insane. Do we believe in Doug Baldwin moving forward?
I mean, he's playing the Ravens this week.
You mentioned how they got a great favorable schedule going down the stretch.
If it sounds like some of us are confused, it's because we are. Because this season has been so nuts. You know, it's like, ooh, Nuke Hopkins is playing against the Saints. He's going to go off.
He's going to go
3.6 points.
I know.
Doug Baldwin, boy, he's been awful all year. Now he's 12th in fantasy points among wide receivers. It's been a nutty, nutty, unpredictable season for a lot of us fantasy analysts out there. I know I've seen more gray hair this season. That's for sure.
All right, Gail Hart, what do you do with Doug Baldwin?
I think you can start him. He's on that wide receiver 3 flex, like even maybe wide receiver 2 range moving forward.
I think he's a good flex option only because, you know, again, I would imagine the floor isn't great as we've seen with some of his horrible games.
He's had some stinkers.
But he's in the flex, you love a guy who could give you 20 points.
Right, and he's like, we talk about like the passing game volume. He's seen just shy of 27% of the total targets in the Seattle offense since the bye.
All right.
So that is nice.
All right. So flip side of the coin, big name, not a lot of production. Julio Jones, just 15 points over his last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and he's got Norman this week and for two of the next
3 weeks.
He's got two,
two of the next three weeks. Forget
about
it.
3 weeks.
But how in the world do you bench Julio Jones? I mean, listen, you could. I mean, you could do it. I actually was shocked because I was watching some of that game, the Carolina game.
And Brandon Cooks.
Norman actually, well, Cooks didn't beat Norman on the touchdown.
No, he did not.
But Norman got beat on the Coleman touchdown.
Mm.
So I was a little bit surprised there. But, boy, I'll tell you something. This is why, and I know Marcus had talked about this. I talked about this. Matt Money Smith talked about this, that before the trade deadline, a lot of us were like, dude, get a king's ransom for Jones now, because in the 2 weeks in the fantasy playoffs, when you're scratching your head and whether or not you should be starting him against the Panthers, you are going to feel a whole heck of a lot better not having to make that decision. And you have to play him, but boy, I'll tell you something. I mean, Norman's he's cut down just about everyone.
Everyone.
And I'm not talking about curtain jerkers and mid-card jobbers. I'm talking about some of the elite in this league have done zip against Josh.
I know I was shocked to see production out of Brandon Cooks. I mean, I know that the long touchdown he caught was not on Josh Norman.
Right,
but
they started moving him around, Cooks, hey, he was my breakout guy. He was a breakout candidate for a lot of people around here.
Absolutely.
And, you know, him and Allen Robinson were both big names, but yeah, Cooks is, I mean, he's on pace right now for 1,109 touchdowns.
I'll take it all day.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
I like it. Marcus, what do you do with Julio Jones? I know you've been, you know, just preaching to the high heavens. Get rid of Julio Jones.
Yeah. I mean, you're playing him, like Fab said. I mean, you've got a guy like Julio Jones who has the ability to break out at any time. It's hard to put him on your bench, especially because they're still throwing the football to him. The problem is the Falcons' offense has been a mess recently.
Matt Ryan.
Awful, man.
Matt Ryan's been terrible.
So bad.
I mean, in real football terms, they've played their way out of a playoff spot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard to trust him. But again, like if you leave Julio Jones on your bench and he goes off for 25 points, which he has the ability to do at any time, you're going to be kicking yourself. But it's just the matchups don't favor him. The offense is playing bad. Everything is trending down.
Where do you guys got him ranked? That's probably a better question.
This week?
Yeah.
I think I had him around 10.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the bottom part of my top 10.
I haven't even looked at my rankings yet. I've still got to write stardom and sit him. You know, coming off my bronchitis.
Sure.
Yeah, I haven't even done rankings yet. But, I mean, there's no way he's out of my top 20.
Yeah.
There's no way. Ugh, so.
Man. High alert, Julio Jones.
We'll have to – we're getting running a little long here, so we'll have to punt the fantasy playoff discussion until Friday.
Okay.
But I think I should have a piece up with the best and worst fantasy playoff matchups too, so we can talk about that then.
Alex Gailhar is kicking butts and taking names, just like the rest of our NFL.com editorial staff. So make sure you're checking out NFL.com/fantasy.
Of course.
Because we're here to help you win a championship. That's what we're here for.
Should we dap it?
Yep, dap and get out.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the day.
Daps and hugs. Give me daps, because I be scribbling around.
Give me dapping up, daps abound, daps.
Daps.
All right, Michael Fabiano, welcome back to the podcast. Give me some daily daps.
Yeah, well, I'm going Alex Gelhar and the fantasy crew for covering for me for the last week. Alex making his debut on NFL Fantasy Live.
Oh,
he was actually practicing his autograph. I saw him doing that when we came in here. So thanks for covering for me. I feel terrible because, again, I tried to fight my way through a week and I just got worse. You guys, doing a bang up job as always.
All right, there you go. Alex Gelhar did do a bang up job on television. What did Mama Gelhar have to say? She had to have been through.
She was very excited. So was my pops and other family and friends. Thought it was very cool to see somebody. All of my family and friends in small town Wisconsin were like, "Oh, look at that! Alex is on the TV." So
that is amazing.
It's pretty sweet.
It is amazing. I mean, you're 21 years old. Here you are on network television. It's amazing. It is amazing.
All true.
All right, Gelhar, hit me with the dap.
I'm going to give a dap to Jimmy Valvano and his speech because it's Jimmy V Week.
Great point.
For ESPN. And if you've never seen the speech before, it's one of the best in life. He was suffering from cancer and won the Arthur Ashe Courage Award at the ESPYs and gave a really heartfelt.
He was the first winner of that.
He was the first winner. You're right. And he gave a very heartfelt, inspiring speech. I watch it every year. I tear up every time I watch it. And since it's Jimmy V, we're going to give a dap to him and the Jimmy V Cancer Foundation for research because they do a lot of great work and are trying to help out for a great cause. So,
all right, I like it. How about it, MG?
My daily dap is to the Cartoon Network and Jindy Tartakovsky. They are rebooting Samurai Jack in 2016.
Are they?
Yep.
Yes, Samurai Jack, the story of the titled character who was flung into the future by the shape-shifting master of darkness, Aku. He's trying to fight his way back to the past to defeat Aku and undo all the evil that has happened
Haku,
in the world.
He was a WWE wrestler.
Samurai Jack is awesome.
Samurai Jack was amazing. It's an amazing show, and so it is getting rebooted. I'm so-so on reboots, but this is a show that I'm willing to get behind a reboot. So it's coming in 2016, so daps to that.
All right, I like it. I got a few here. Can I do that? I'm going to give daps to I'm going to give dap to The Cauldron. They made an awesome Antonio Brown 8-bit celebration mixing in a little bit of Mario. If you haven't seen that, go type Google The Cauldron Antonio Brown. You will see that. It's a great little video. It's 30 seconds. Go peep it. It's funny. I'll give a dap to Fightland.com. Again, that's Fightland.com. They basically do. I know in NFL there's a lot of GIF breakdowns of plays. These guys do GIF breakdowns of fights, and specifically they really focus on the UFC. I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast are also into the fight game as well, like I am. I'm a huge UFC guy. There's a bunch of fights this weekend. I'm so excited. Jose Aldo taking on Conor McGregor.
That should be great.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Anyways, they do a whole GIF breakdown of various fights. They've got a great breakdown of Jose Aldo, a great breakdown of Conor McGregor, and Chris Weidman and Luke Rockhold as well. So go check them out. I will give an undap to spinning class. Went to spinning class yesterday. with the wife. If you are in a long-term relationship, at some point, I would imagine at some point, I guess if you're in Southern California too, because I guess they don't do too much spinning in, Iowa, I guess, but that's just my assumption. I don't know. I don't even
know
where
Iowa is.
I don't even know where it is on a map,
so
whatever. Who cares? Southern California, if you're in a long-term relationship, at some point, your girl's going to try to rope you into spin class. Gentlemen, let me tell you, I would say do it to be a good boyfriend/husband, but be on high alert. Your nether regions get smashed, and also, for some reason, your feet feel like they're about to break in half. Spinning is not enjoyable. I don't understand how anyone does it. I mean, any guy does it. Your dark parts get hurt. It is not enjoyable.
Did you have to take an ice bath after spinning class?
Dude, it was so not cool. And you know, my wife's like, oh, man, what a great cardio workout. I was like, I wouldn't know. I am in so much pain in other places other than my lungs. I don't know what is hurting right now. So undap to spinning class.
And on that note.
And on that note, we are out of here. Thank you for listening, everybody. The whiz kid from Wisconsin, FG Marcus Grant. And the return of the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. I'm James Cole. We're out.